Thank you for having me, April.
Can you tell us about the allegations? What are the kids saying happened?
So the kids are, you know, saying on a general level, they do not feel welcome and like valued members of the community, and that they feel that they are being treated differently because of their race. To name a few examples, a student told us about an economics class where they had an exercise to play an online game to see who could own the most slaves by the end of the game. And, you know, that's just really hurtful and harmful and just incredibly distressing. We also heard that Black students are constantly followed around at school by teachers and hall monitors, and that this would only happen with a white student if they were, you know, deemed an extreme troublemaker. On this issue, we've also heard a lot about the unequal policing of Black students and students of color at Pioneer, where, you know, they're receiving harsher punishments than their white classmates for doing the same thing. You know, a Black student might be texting in class and get sent to the principal's office, but a white student doing the same thing gets to stay in class without any penalty. Something else that I think really showcases the racially hostile environment at Pioneer is that most students could only recall 2 to 3 Black teachers in the entirety of the high school. And this is a high school that serves over 1,800 students, and it has a 47% more minority student population. And so, you know, there are a lot of, the list just goes on and on, but these are some of the more egregious examples of the racially hostile environment at Pioneer.
You know, it's one thing to bring up these issues and to say that they're going on, but there's a long distance between that and filing a civil rights complaint with the state. What were the circumstances that sort of elevated these allegations and amplified the concerns that some of the students and some of their families had?
Well, I mean, primarily it happened because of our client, Michaela Kelsey. A lot of these issues the students say have been going on for years and for generations of Black students and students of color. But the way that Michaela Kelsey was treated this year was sort of, you know, the tipping point, or also the epitome of, you know, the problems with systemic racism at Pioneer. And so Michaela primarily faced a lot of issues with a specific math teacher, but those issues were not only emblematic of how this math teacher treats Black students and students of color more generally, but how Pioneer treats Black students and students of color more generally.
Yeah. What would you and the student you represent like to see change at Pioneer?
While we are specifically asking Pioneer and Ann Arbor Public Schools, we've sent them a 14-page demand letter today describing what Michaela has faced, as well as the other Black students and students of color I spoke with this summer. We would like to see them hire an external civil rights organization to investigate the environment at Pioneer that students have to face. This could include things like seeing if the faculty and staff reflect the racial and cultural diversity of the student population, to see if the curriculums are actually global curriculums and not just focusing on European history and culture, as well as this external organization would make recommendations that the school would then implement to make itself more equitable and make its environment better for students of all races. We also want them to create a race discrimination complaint system, as there is not one right now. There's no way for students to formally complain, and there's no way for Ann Arbor Public Schools to track those complaints and proactively, you know, take action against racism in Pioneer and other schools in its district. And so implementing a formal race discrimination complaint system and enthusiastically encouraging students to use it would, you know, not only give students an outlet to be heard, but also allow the district to be proactive in dismantling institutional racism. And last but not least, we're also asking for the school to start the termination procedures against the specific teacher that has harmed our client, Michaela Kelsey, this year.
Has there been any official response, or, and I guess unofficial response even, from the district or the teachers at the center of the story?
Everything went out this morning. So we will be seeing, you know, I think the same response time for everything. But we have gotten an acknowledgement email from the superintendent, and that's about it so far.
We should say that we also reached out to Ann Arbor Public Schools and received a short statement back from its spokesperson, Andrew Cluley. And it reads as follows: in the Ann Arbor Public Schools, we stand strongly against any and all acts of racism, bigotry, and bias. We will not comment publicly on personnel processes or pending litigation. Liza, are there legal measures in place that should have prevented what happened?
You know, there are a couple of things that we believe have been violated, at least in the course of action by this particular teacher. You know, Michaela's grades were displayed publicly on a smart board on a day that she was absent from school. And this is actually a violation of the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act. That's a federal statute that protects privacy of students' educational records. And, you know, that's definitely something that we are alleging has been violated. We also have the Michigan Elliott Larson Civil Rights Act, which is the Michigan civil rights statute. But, you know, it's really up to the district to police itself, its teachers and staff, and to really formalize a dedication to dismantling institutional racism. And, you know, it's really up to them to correct what's happened so far and to prevent things like this from happening in the future.
Yeah. Where does this story fit, do you think, into the broader context of the Black Lives Matter movement?
So I think that it's directly tied to the Black Lives Matter movement because, you know, so much has happened this summer alone, but, you know, for years and years and generations of Black Americans, you know, racism is not just something that happens with the police. It's something that happens at every stage and phase of life, including in educational environments. And, you know, we have a lot of students who have complained of coded language being used and just being treated with less compassion than their white counterparts. And that's a part of this this time right now. It's not just about, you know, Black people being killed by the police, which is egregious and horrible and terrible. It's also about the ways that from birth to death, Black people are being treated in all kinds of ways that devalue their lives.
Ann Arbor is a city that prides itself on its progressive character and history. What does it tell us that things like this are, that complaints like this are present in the schools to this day?
It just tells us that racism is a problem everywhere. It can happen anywhere. And, you know, not only is it possible that students would have complaints about race discrimination in Ann Arbor, it's likely that, you know, this is the case across Michigan and across the country. And at least in terms of Michigan, we encourage Black students and students of color across the state to speak out as the students in Ann Arbor have. But, you know, the thing about Ann Arbor is that it is really liberal in some ways, which is amazing. And I think that that just proves the point that past and present racism is something that every American community faces and must actively work against. And Ann Arbor is no exception.
You know, we might say that there are any number of communities around Michigan that are actively wrestling with these issues right now as the school year begins to start and as everything else is happening. Racial discrimination doesn't appear to be limited to one high school or institution. Why was this case the one that you wanted to work on? Why is it important to address in this context?
Well, it's important to address because, you know, change has to start somewhere. And we're seeing, you know, across the nation, changes happening, but they're also happening at a local community by community based level. And so Ann Arbor needs to have this reckoning, just like, you know, other cities, other towns, and other communities in Michigan do need to do this as well. And so this case came to us because Michaela Kelsey and her mother, Charmel Kelsey, they felt something needed to be done. And they knew that what Michaela faced and what other Black students and students of color had faced had gone ignored long enough. And they wanted to demand change. And so that's why we're here.
Liza Davis is representing Michaela Kelsey and her family in the civil rights litigation currently before the state, calling on Pioneer High School in Ann Arbor to make some changes in how Black students are treated. Liza Davis, thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.